Shalom, saints. God bless you this evening once again. Welcome to our Tuesday night Bible study. Good to see everybody who's joining. May the Lord richly bless you. Trust your week has started well. And let's just have a little bit of a time to fellowship around the word. May the Lord grant us that mercy and grant us that grace. We'd like to continue on this evening the topic we're having a look at. We had nothing last week. If I share my screen, we want to have a look at these adoption principles, and the thought we'd like to look at this evening is the power of transformation. It ties together with discerning or knowing the will of the Lord. If you're wanting to know the will of the Lord for your life, that's going to be a very important part of His placing you in your position in Christ, raising you up, investing more in your life, using you in a greater measure, using you more consistently, is to find your position, you know, consistently in Christ, to know His will for your life. Who are you? What did He call you for? Where does He want you to be? All of those principles are very important principles. Because like Bahram says, Satan has a very good trick. He can make a person think they're called when they're not, or he can make you think you're not called when you are. And he says, so you must know that you are called. So how do we know? No, we want to know the perfect will of God. We want to know that you're walking in His will and walking in His ways. And that's what you want to have a look at in this principle this evening. I think it's a pretty simple principle, but we'll try to take it from different aspects. And may it just help us in our daily walk. So our scripture this evening is going to be Romans chapter 12 again. Paul says in Romans 12 verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for our lives. And Paul is saying, how do we do that? He says, well, don't be conformed to the world. Don't walk with a carnal mind. You know, don't listen to the wrong people, to worldly people, and expect to find the will of God or to stay in the will of God. He says, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we need the Lord to transform our minds so that we ourselves may prove ourselves, may know ourselves, discern ourselves what is His good and acceptable and perfect will for our lives. I'm sure we all desire that. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word. Be it unto us according to your word. Thank you that you've given us a chance to gather once again this evening, Lord. Now bless our fellowship, we'd pray. Bless your people. Anybody that's tuned in on YouTube or wherever they would be, bless them as well, we pray. Guide us, we ask, Lord. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul is giving us a real good principle here when he's telling us, don't be conformed to the world. Now, obviously, that worldly mindedness, that carnality is going to be the enemy of God's work inside of your life. You know, because you're going to have something trying to pull you in a worldly frequency, you know, towards your own ambitions, your own plans, your own desires. And yet there's the call of God on your life. There's God's desire for your life. There's his purpose for your life. So how do we come from being carnally minded, not knowing much about the Lord, and getting to a stage where we know his will, we know how to walk with him, and he can, like we say, he can entrust us with more authority and more power because we're more consistent in our walk? We're going to need the power of transformation. We're going to need his power to transform us, especially in our minds, to take us from being carnally minded to being spiritually minded. And that's what Paul is trying to show us here. So to be conformed, the word means to, if you conformed to the world, to fashion yourself to another's pattern. So, you know, the Lord, he calls you, he calls Brother Jesse there, he calls each and every one who's tuned in, and he has a heavenly pattern. He has a purpose for your life. He's made you in a certain way. He made you in a unique pattern. There's no one else like you. So he's calling you uniquely as well. And Paul is trying to say, be careful you don't fashion yourself to another person's pattern. You know, don't let somebody else's ideas govern your life, or you know, somebody else telling you, no, I think you should do this, or no, I think, no, you've got to be careful with that. You want to make sure yourself, because you've got to know this call is an individual call, and you've got to know that you are called. So we don't need to be conformed, but he says we need to be transformed. Now, the word transformed in the Bible is where we get our word metamorphosis, which means to change into another form. So you've been changed from one form to another. Metamorphosis, you take in a caterpillar, it's eating a lot of mulberry leaves, it's being transformed into a butterfly. Now that's the power of transformation, that God wants to take something from one form and change it into another form. And Paul is saying we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God wants to transform us. This word also means to transfigure. So transformation is to transfigure. And there's Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. And you can see he's being transformed. He's being changed from one form to another. From just being a mortal being, from just being, you know, somebody who people like to push around and stuff. But he gets to hear ye him. He gets to adoption. And now the glory of God shines out through him. That is the power of transformation. Here he's showing that power of transformation. It's radiating out from him. And that's the end result of any calling, any person's life. If God calls you, he wants to transform us. He wants to bring us to that place of hear ye him, that he can put you in your position in Christ, and that you now stand for him in your age. You are his voice. You are his representative. Heaven backs you up. And that's obviously going to be a process. As he trains us and transforms us, he can now trust us with more and more as we go. But we need this renewing of our mind. That's what he says. That's the really, really important thing. Until we get transformed, until we really become the living word. I'm sure each of us desire that upon this evening, is to be more the living word than we are now. To really be written epistles read of all men, like Paul said. Not epistles written on stone, he said, but by the Spirit of God on the fleshly tablets of your hearts. And God wants to make us the living word. So yeah, we're not the living word when you first come to the Lord. He's going to have to transform us. He's going to have to take us through a process to get us to be what we are supposed to be. And why do we want to do this? He tells us at the end of Romans 12, we need to get to the stage inside of our lives that we can prove what is his good and acceptable and perfect will. And that's going to be really important, to stay walking in his will. We need to prove for ourselves. We need to understand for ourselves. That word to prove his will means to discern. So it's going to dawn on you. You're going to realize, but okay, this is God's will for my life. This is what he wants me to do. You know, like God can speak to us in many, many ways. And he can speak to us in dreams. He can speak through his word, through revelation, through prophecy. All of those are good things. But more often than not, God's way of allowing us to prove, to find out his will for our lives, is by experience. You know, he leads us, and we start going through something, and we find God is in that. We find out that, oh my, this is the will of God for my life. This is how the mystery of his will for our lives is normally revealed, is we prove it for ourselves. He wants to prove it for us. He wants us to know it by experience, that this is God's will for my life. And God's will, the closer you get to it, the more clear it becomes, the more you discern, the more it proves itself. Like with Moses, I mean, Moses, he was carnally minded. Now, he thought, if I'm going to serve the Lord, I'll become a big general and I'll lead the children of Israel out in a mutiny or a rebellion. Until he met the burning bush, the power of transformation, his mind and his thoughts and his ways were completely different than what God's thoughts and mind and ways were for him. So he needed to come into this presence, this transforming presence of God, so that God could transform him by the renewing of his mind. And the longer he stayed in the presence of this transforming power of the Spirit of God, in this glory of God, and the Lord would speak to him from the glory, it's changed Moses. By the time he left that experience at the burning bush, his understanding of the will of God for his life was absolutely revolutionized. But when he first was walking up looking after Jethro's sheep that day, he didn't understand God's will for his life. He didn't know what it was, but now the Lord spoke to him and he met God in the power of transformation, and God confirmed and proved to Moses, throw down your rod, it turns into a snake. Put your hand into your bosom, it became leprous. Put it in again, it got healed. So God confirmed, proved to him what his will was. And that was a revolution in the life of Moses. And as long as he stayed there, took off his shoes, stayed in the presence of the power of transformation, his life was radically changed. Now, when he came down from the mountain that day, he knew he was called. He knew what he was called for. He knew the perfect and acceptable will of God for his life. But God had to lead him into that, transform him, and bring him to that place that he wasn't leaning on his own understanding, because the Lord said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways. But God had to transform him. God had to work to take him, his mind and his spiritual outlook, and the way he looked at himself, the way he looked at his day, the way he looked at the children of God. God had to change all of these things. And how did he do it? By God meeting him in the power of transformation. So as we get to the point now, God will always prove himself to you in his perfect will. When you start drawing near to the will of God for your life, God is going to prove that he's in it. God is going to encourage you, he's going to reward you. There's going to be the power of transformation, the reality of God. God is going to start to reveal himself. God is going to start to make himself real as you draw near to his perfect will. And you know his perfect will through the power of transformation resident in it. Now, if you're walking in the perfect will of God, you have tremendous access to the power of transformation, to the glory of God, to the reality of God. Yeah, and that's what the power of transformation is. And God needs to bring us to that place, into that we know the perfect will of God, that we know what God has called us for, that we know in the big decisions of life, what is the way the Lord wants me to go? So we need to find out, how do we do that in a practical way? So I'd like to take the ministry of the prophet and to have a look at this principle working in the life of Brother Branham. And then you compare yourself and you'll see there's a lot of similarities. I want to just show how the Lord brought Brother Branham out from being a Baptist minister and brought him to walk with the Lord in the truth. It was a process. At the first, when you meet Brother Branham in the message, in Life Story and that, in the early days, if you read Supernatural Book 1 and 2, he's a Baptist minister. He doesn't know much about what God is doing in that age. He doesn't know much about the Pentecostal move. He doesn't know much that God has restored the gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't understand a lot of the things that God is doing in the midst of his people. So God is going to have to bring him from being just a Baptist minister and take him through a process now that he discerns and he understands the perfect will of God for his life. And that's exactly the same as with you and I. God has to transform us step by step, as he did with the prophet. And he's going to take him out of the Baptist move into, this is in the 1930s, the current move and work of God for that day, which was, excuse me, the Pentecostal move. This was, at this time, the latest work and move of God in the work of restoring his church back to what it was in the beginning. The restoration of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the real transforming power, the dynamic power of God working and transforming the lives of people and using them through gifts and so forth. Now, the prophet knew very little about this when he was just a Baptist minister. He had never been exposed to these kind of things. So the Lord now needed to lead him from where he was as a Baptist to walk in the light, to walk in the fullness of the light for his day. No, to come to God's chosen place of worship, the place where God's glory was overshadowing in the richest and most real way, which was the Pentecostal move at that time. You know, this latest move of God where he is revealing his name, revealing his essence, revealing himself. So Brother Branham was born under a supernatural calling, born a prophet. So he's having these visions and you know, he has these supernatural experiences from a very, very young age. These spiritual manifestations inside of his life, including in 1933, the seven visions that he saw, which would take place before the coming of the Lord. But now he's ordained a Baptist minister. Yeah, that's just maybe where his parents took him or whatever, you know, when he was confirmed or whatever he was, when he was young, dedicated. And now he somehow meets up with the Baptist people when he decides to give his life to the Lord. But the Baptist people, they believe very little in the supernatural. So here's a man with a supernatural calling upon his life. He's seeing visions and the Lord is showing him things. But he's fellowshipping in the midst of a people who don't understand these kind of things, don't know very much about it. This picture here, it looks a bit confusing, but it's very simple. I've used this many times before, just, you know, in different things I've shown people. But this shows at the very top early Christianity. And then it shows us how, you know, the early church broke up in 7th century, up to the 10th century, into the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox. Then in the 1500s came the Reformation near the top there, and that's where the Lutheran Church came from, and the Anglican and so forth, the blue ones, Presbyterians. Then came the English Reformation, and that's where the Baptist Church came from. So, you know, so the Baptist Church in its origin is not very far removed from the Lutheran Church. You know, it believes a little bit more than the Lutherans and the Anglicans and so forth. But the Baptist Church started in the 1600s there. God's Spirit moved, the cloud of glory moved right through the 1600s into the 1700s to the Great Awakenings. Then here came Wesley and Whitfield and then continued on into the 1800s through Moody and Finney. And God is restoring power back to the church and power in evangelism and so forth until we get to the 1900s. And there's the Pentecostal move. He has the restoration of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts of the Spirit. So you can see the Baptist church is far behind in the program of God. You know, God had moved on several moves since the Baptist church was formed. So the prophet now, he's ordained to walk in the light at this time of the time we're speaking about. When the Lord calls him to with a supernatural ministry, he's called to the Pentecostals because that is the latest move of God. That's where God's glory is overshadowing. That's where God is calling his people into his real bride. This is the wise virgin. This is where you're going to find the oil in this age. Walking in the light with Christ at that time is present tense. Christ revealing himself in present tense. But he finds himself fellowshipping and born, spiritually speaking, you could say, in a Baptist church, a church which is way back there. The Baptists don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a definite experience after salvation. They believe when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Ghost, which is a measure of truth. You receive a measure of the Holy Ghost, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a separate thing. They believe very little, the Baptists, in spiritual manifestations. They're very suspicious of those things. You know, they believe in the devil, a lot of these things, divine healings and a lot of things. They don't believe in them. And it's quite natural because We are always suspicious of something that hasn't been revealed to us, or something that we haven't personally experienced as Christians. We become very suspicious of it. And we've got to be careful of that, because we can, you know, the Lord might be moving on and we want to stay back there in the Baptist way of thinking. And the Lord's trying to call you out of your Baptist frame of mind to transform you by the renewing of your mind, so that they can see your real call in this day and your age. That you can really see the power and the potential of walking in the light now with him, and how he wants to manifest himself in the lives of the sons and daughters of God. So the prophet at this time, in the 1930s, now the Baptist people, they really loved him, and the other ministers, they liked him because he was a really nice young man, but they didn't understand him. You know, and he's walking with people who don't understand the supernatural realm. And so they soon started to confuse him. They started to tell him, Billy, we believe those visions you're seeing and those things, that's the devil. Yeah, and he starts now to believe, maybe this is the power of the devil. So how are you going to take a man from that kind of a condition, fellowshipping with those kinds of people, and bring him to his adoption, bring him with a supernatural calling upon his life like you had? How are you going to bring him to the full manifestation of the supernatural inside of his life, so he can be a full blessing to the church of God in the last days? Well, God's going to have to use the power of transformation. He's going to have to take him through a process. It's going to be a predestined process. God has, he's going to have to meet certain people, go through certain experiences, so that God can reveal to him personally by experience what his good and perfect and acceptable will is. You know, so the prophet now is going to discern in himself, okay, this is God. This which people is telling me is the devil is actually God. You know, they just don't understand supernatural things. So he needs to be transformed by the renewing of his mind. God is going to have to take him through this process. So this, you'll find it in your Supernatural Book 2, chapter 17 and 18. So God is bringing him now to a new chapter in his life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to close this Baptist chapter in his life. You know, it served its purpose. He's learned good things from Dr. Davis and Six Second Smith and all the people that he's learned things from. But now it's time for him to come up higher. Now it's time for him to move into the next realm of the Spirit, to come right into his calling. Now, that's exactly the same as you and I when you meet the message. Many of us came from a Methodist background, or we came from a Pentecostal background, or Baptist background, or, you know, some from a Seventh Adventist background. There needs to be a process of transformation. Yeah, and people, when they come at first, they're always suspicious, and people say this and that about the message and this and that against the prophet. The same as with the Pentecostal move in the days of the prophet. You know, it was misunderstood because, like I say, you only understand the supernatural and the spiritual as far as God has taken you. You know, the things where God hasn't yet taken you, you don't understand those things. So it's natural to be suspicious about them. If you've never spoken in tongues, it's very easy to be suspicious about speaking in tongues. If you never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can even be scared of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, until you experience it for yourself, until God transforms and renews your mind, the way you understand it, by you experiencing the things for yourself. The prophet never understood that scripture about if you say to this mountain, until God had to renew his mind, had to transform his understanding and allowing to experience the power of the spoken word. Then he says, I see it now. You see, so God understands, and to take us from where we were and bring us to the place that we're supposed to be, the real fullness of our calling, then we need to understand the way that he deals with us and the way that he works with his children. And looking at the way that he dealt with the prophet, here's a very, very good example, because you'll see a lot of characteristics. And like I say, you'll find similar characteristics in your life, how the Lord has led you and brought you into the truth and is leading you in your calling. And I think let's try to glean a few of these lessons from the ministry and the calling of the prophet. So you get to 1935, if you get into the chapter 17 of Supernatural, you find this is the time now. The prophet's 1933, he's seen these seven visions concerning the coming of the Lord. The first one was that Mussolini would invade Ethiopia. The second one was then that Hitler would lead Europe into war. Now, the second one hasn't yet come to pass, but 1935, Mussolini invades Ethiopia, exactly according to what the Lord showed Brother Branham 2 years before that. 2.5 years before that. And brethren started to question and say, but if these things are of the devil, how come they come to pass exactly like I've been showed? And people are telling him, these ministers, Baptist ministers, no, you don't need to worry about those things. You just preach salvation. You just preach the cross. Yeah, that's all that you need to do, which was good sound advice for Baptist people. But yeah, there's a supernatural something. There's a deep inside of the prophet. There's a potential. There's a supernatural calling that it wants to express itself. But you know, where he is, where he's fellowshipping, isn't helping him anymore. It's holding him back from really expressing this calling, the potential that God has placed inside of his life. So God's going to have to bring him out from the Baptist church. And he's going to now close that chapter and wants to open the next chapter and bring him into the current move of God, bring him into this Pentecostal move. You know, so Brother Ramos says he wondered how could this gift be from the devil when it was always so perfect and it always glorified Christ and so forth. But his minister's friends insisted it's the devil, so he really got himself confused. Now, let's see how God deals with him and helps him on this issue. It's going to be the same as with you and I. God is going to predestine certain people to cross his path at certain times. So just at this time when Mussolini has invaded Ethiopia, and Brother Bram's thinking about these kinds of things, after church one day on Sunday, he's speaking to one of the elders at the church, Walt Johnson, and he says, you ought to have heard them holy rollers last night. And Brother Bram's stopped and came into the conversation. What is that, Brother Walton? And this brother from the Baptist church said, these Pentecostals, Billy, you've never seen anything like it. They were jumping up and down, rolling on the floor. And they say, if you don't jabber in some kind of an unknown language, you aren't saved. And Brother says, what? Where's that at? And he says, the other side of Louisville, it's a tent meeting. They call themselves the House of David. And they're calling the meetings the School of the Prophets. Colored people, of course. Now, the Baptist people still had quite a bit of discrimination in them, especially in the South, where Brother Branham was. You know, so straight away, there was other colored people. But something stirred and moved inside of Brother Branham, because this very people that people are talking against here are the very people he's called to be together with, to minister to them. You know, so when he hears about these people, though, among them, this House of David, if you read up about it, there was a lot of fanaticism, some cultish behavior, and so, but they had some genuine spiritual life as well, far more than the Baptists did, who called them a cult. You know, so it was very interesting. So Branham says, oh, and this Brother Walt says to him, there was also a lot of white people there too. Branham says, really, did they do that also? He said, yes. So Branham says, that's funny, people get mixed up in all kinds of stuff. But it's something moved inside of him, his curiosity. He wanted to go and see for himself. So the next night, Monday night, he drives across the river into Louisville to go and find out what's going on. Now, it says he didn't see anyone rolling on the floor, but he said he saw the crowd was really excited about something. And they did seem to have some quite strange doctrines. But during the service, an unusual middle-aged man stood up to testify. He reminded Brother Branham, in the supernatural, Bill, of an Old Testament prophet with graying hair down to his shoulders, a curly beard tumbled down over his chest. And his testimony was as striking as his appearance. And he introduced himself as John Ryan from Dowagiac. So there's a photo there of John Ryan and his wife. So this is the John Ryan. Now, this is the prophet's first experience of a genuine Pentecostal person with a genuine Pentecostal experience. But God has led this man across. And this was a divine appointment, because John Ryan gets up in the meeting and he testifies that the Lord had told him to come to Louisville to testify at that meeting. And to be honest, the Lord had sent him there to meet Brother Branham at that meeting. And that's exactly the same as you and I. When God wants to take us the next stage, wants to take us beyond the next veil in our spiritual life, take us the next stage to our calling, he knows exactly who you should meet and when. He ordains the footsteps of the righteous. And this man has had a real Pentecostal experience. He's like a Pentecostal prophet. And he has a prophet with a real supernatural calling, doesn't know what's happening inside, he's all confused. And God at the appointed time sends the right man his way, which is this just John Ryan. And it says that John Ryan, he spoke about the power of God, the fire of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he's speaking 1930 terminology, the real message of the hour. You know, this is God's real working and moving at that time. Restoration of the gifts, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the fire of Pentecost. And it says his testimony carried such an energy. He was so anointed and such a conviction that Brother Branham decided he wanted to meet this man, this peculiar man. So Branham said, hey, I need to speak to this man. I don't understand a lot of the things that he's saying, but wow, there's a power in this man. Now that's the power of transformation. You see, this man has been transformed. John Ryan was a Catholic, and then he met the Lord in the Pentecostal experience, became a Pentecostal minister, Pentecostal prophet, and he would speak in tongues, prophesied over Brother Branham himself. You know, so Brother Branham is just attracted to this man, doesn't fully understand, but the deep is calling to the deep, and the prophet responds to that deep calling. So he goes to this John Ryan after church, and they speak for a long time, and John Ryan starts telling him his testimony and so forth, and how he became a Pentecostal, and how he traveled all over as the Lord led him, and he was testifying of the power of God wherever he went. So Brother Ram now, he feels enthused about this man's belief in the supernatural. So he starts to tell him about the seven visions that he saw about before the coming of the Lord, and about Ethiopia, you know, this one that had just been fulfilled. And John Ryan got so excited about this and said to him, we need to speak more about this later. And Brother Bram said, okay, why don't you come and stay at my house overnight? So he comes overnight, John Ryan, to their house. They get up in the morning. In the morning, they sat for a long time around the kitchen table while Bill shared some of his unusual experiences. He felt more freedom talking to this stranger than he did talking to ministers who he had known for years. Can you see? Now, when we speak about discerning or proving God's will, this is one way you start to find the will of God. When you find someone who really understands you spiritually, you find someone that's ahead of you spiritually, but you've tried to speak to other people, they don't seem to understand you, you don't seem to understand them from where you are, then God's provided time comes, his appointed time, his appointed place, his appointed person. You find there comes a spiritual compatibility. There comes something in the spiritual realm that moves. And you, wow, I've never had anyone understand me like this. And Brother Ram feels, you know, he can open up to this man and speak of these things that he's confused about. And this man's not confused about them at all. This is the first stage in discerning his will. It's like with Elizabeth and Mary when they came together. When Joseph didn't understand because he had never experienced what Mary had experienced. When you put Mary and Elizabeth together, something took place. You know, there was that moving in the spiritual realm. There was a, you know, the power of transformation, the reality, the divine anointing of God, his glory started to move in their hearts and their souls and their midst. And they started to feel that we understand each other. Now, this is one way that the Lord can show you where you're supposed to be to fellowship. Brother says, if you come to that time where you feel you know more than your pastor and the church that you're fellowshipping in, I would advise you to transfer. Yeah, the moment you get to the stage that you know more about it than the place you're fellowshipping, that place isn't helping you anymore. Yeah, that's not really the place that maybe the Lord, Brother Ram's got to the place where he doesn't feel understood. He doesn't agree with the Baptists, what they're saying. He doesn't understand. And then God brings him now to the place, and now there's a spiritual harmony. Now the power of transformation, the power of God moves inside of both of them. So it says that John Ryan encouraged Bill, Brother Branham, to pay close attention to the vision. So when the Baptists are telling him, forget about those things, that's the devil, this man now who's had this experience, he knows what prophecy is about. He now says, no, no, don't do that. You should pay attention to these things. He suggests that there might be God's voice speaking to you. This may be the Lord trying to speak to you. And that made a real, real big difference in the life of Brother Branham. And he started speaking to him about spiritual things. Now, there were a lot of things he was saying at this time that Brother Branham didn't fully understand. But baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Yet these were all scriptural terms. There was terms from the Bible. But Brother Branham was in a move that the glory cloud had long left generations and generations before. And God had taken his church deeper and deeper into its inheritance, further and further into the restoration that he had promised of his church. So although Brother Branham didn't understand a lot of these things that are being said, but he knew, but these things are in the Bible. He says, so maybe it's my understanding that needs to be renewed. I need my understanding to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You see, that's why I think we have to really be careful because the Pentecostal move, especially at that time, it was so evilly spoken of. It had so much reproach. Obviously, there was wildfire in it and some false doctrine and stuff. But always Satan sows his tares where God sows his wheat. I mean, it's always like it in every move of God. But just because something is spoken against or people don't understand it, you've got to be careful. You need to take it back to the scripture. And Brabham could feel inside of his soul, there's something genuine here. I need to find out more about this. Because this was, he could sense the glory of God in this. He could sense the presence of God. And this is deeper and further. And this man understands me like none of these other people understand me. But it was unfamiliar to him because of the system he's born in. That's how you find Brother Ram all the time giving the example of the eagle born in the chicken yard. How the little eaglet, it tries its best to understand the chickens, be understood of the chickens, eat the same diet as the chickens. But it's not, it's an eagle. You say, when it hears one day the eagle's cry of its mother, something wakens up inside of it and says, yes, there's more, there's higher heights, there's more potential. I'm supposed to rise up above these things. These little chickens, they're happy enough down here just in the barnyard. But I feel inside of myself, now I'm understanding why I've got these wings that are so much bigger than theirs. And I'm understanding why I've got this beak that is so different than theirs. You see, that's how God moves. You start to discern God in something. Something moves inside of yourself. Okay, there's more of God. There's more of his truth. And something starts to witness inside of you. The deep calls to the deep, and there's a deep inside of you that responds. And when the prophet met John Ryan, something started to respond inside of him, because the Lord's provided time had come for him to go deeper in the spiritual realm, to more of a reality of spiritual things. And he needs to keep following in this channel and stay in this inspiration so that he can prove what is this perfect, acceptable will of God for his life. Because he's confused. He doesn't really know what it is. So they continue to fellowship on. And in the middle of their fellowship around the kitchen table, John Ryan puts up his hands and he starts to speak in tongues. And Brother Ram is scared of these things. He doesn't understand. He feels very uncomfortable to hear someone speak because he doesn't know these things. And after a while, John Ryan stops speaking in tongues, walks around, puts his hands on Brother Ram's shoulders and says, Brother Billy, this is the interpretation. You're just a boy now. There's a lot of youth to you yet. But someday that will settle down and Almighty God will use you to stir the nations. That was a prophecy. And now instead of the ministers just confusing Brabham and trying to hold him back spiritually, here's a man who's encouraging him to develop his gifts and to go deeper and to go and seek the face of God about the things that are happening inside of his life. So over the next few months, they meet quite a few times. He comes to stay in Brother Branham's house. And he really respected this man, though he didn't fully understand him. And then one day, John Ryan invites him. He says, come up to my house. Come and visit me. There's a nice lake nearby. You can come and you can come and fish. And Brother Branham says, okay. And he goes up for a holiday. Gets there. John Ryan's not there. The Lord's led him somewhere else. But there's his wife and his son there. And they look after him. Brother Branham goes fishing. But that's where John Ryan's from, is Dowagiac, Michigan, up there, Indiana, where Brabham's coming from, is down this at the bottom of the map, off the bottom of the map. And you've got to pass through Mishawaka to get to Dowagiac, and you've got to pass Mishawaka on the way back to Jeffersonville. So you can really see the Lord. He's trying to get something to the prophet. So he's gleaned a lot from John Ryan, but the Lord now wants the power of transformation to work in a deeper way. And God wants to confirm to Brother Bram where he's supposed to be. So he goes up, and as he's coming back now from his fishing trip, this is in chapter 18 of Supernatural Book 2, He sees all these cars. We spoke of it the other week, but I want to just get in a bit of depth here, just show how this worked. So he sees all these cars and the police directing traffic as he's trying to drive through Mishawaka on his way home. And a lot of these cars have Jesus only on the back. You know, these are oneness Pentecostals. And he says, this is some kind of religious meeting. And he follows the cars and comes to this big tabernacle. And there's several thousand people inside of there. And he goes inside the back of this meeting that's taking place. It's a big convention of the Pentecostals, an international convention. And he's going to discern. God is going to show him the power of transformation working in the midst of these people in a number of ways. He's going to see there's something different with these people. They got something the Baptists don't have. And the very first thing that he speaks about is when he got inside of there. Now, obviously, he's coming from the South, which was very segregated in that time. And they're having this meeting in Mishawaka up north because it's multiracial. You know, there's colored people, white people all mixed together in a congregation. Now, this isn't something you're going to find very often down in the South. And that's the first thing that strikes Brother Branham when he got there. He says they had no discrimination. You know, the white brothers who put in their arms around the back, black brothers, white ministers preach, black ministers preach, black sisters go and sing. And he said, wow, this is something different. And friends, we don't realize this, but many, many people, even Christians, they need the power of transformation to transform them from racism because they've been grown up in a system. They've grown up thinking that people of another race are inferior, we are superior. And we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to understand that perfect will of God. You know, it's a real, real sign that God is working when you can find people of different colors, races, backgrounds, ethnicities. They can put their arms around one another as brothers and sisters in Christ because that's not a normal thing in this world. This world is so divided by race, so divided by tribalism and all these kind of things. And that's the very first thing that God brought Abraham's attention when he got this is, wow, this is mixed. You know, this is not just like our Baptist meetings where it's maybe all just white people and maybe a few black people come and sit in the back. That's how it was in the America in those days. So he sits there and the Lord now starts to minister and the people start to worship. So the very first thing which he finds when he gets to Mishawaka is there's no discrimination. And he says, wow. And this miss of one of these people. It's mostly colored people, and so a lot of white people as well. The next thing he starts to get into their worship. When the people start to worship, there's the glory of God in their worship. There's the power of transformation in their worship. He can sense from their worship there's something different. There's life here. There's anointing. There's something in the worship. He actually says, I've never heard such singing in my life. Now, sometimes we don't realize these kind of things. I remember where we had one young brother. He came to us, brother. I won't say his name, brother. He was a very nice young brother, but he was a Hindu. And he came across to one of our services years back, and Brother George Martin was preaching that night. And this young man, another sister, invited him to come. He was a Hindu boy, and he sat in the meeting. And Brother George Martin preached, and he preached a very technical service that it wasn't a gospel message. It was a real high-powered algebra, message. And I thought, I wonder if you'll see this young boy back again. I wonder if he understood anything. But he came back on the Sunday. Hey, he came back the next week, came back out. Then he came, he wanted to be baptized. And I sat down with him and I asked him, what really, really caught you? You know, because when you first came, I really thought you were going to be heading for the hills because of the things that you preached. I didn't think you are. He says, when I first came into church, he says, I never understood a thing when the minister preached. He says, but when you people prayed at the end of the meeting, there was such a presence that came down when you people were praying. So I said, hey, let me come back again on Sunday. He says, when I came back on Sunday, I still didn't understand so much of the preaching. I was a Hindu boy. He says, but it was the singing. When you people started to worship, there was a life, there was a presence in that worship that made me come back again. Then finally, he says, the Lord spoke to me through his word, and that's when I gave my life to the Lord. Sometimes we don't realize these things, saints. We don't realize the importance of or discerning the presence of God in all of these things. But to Brother Branham coming from a Baptist background, coming into a Pentecostal meeting, like at a big convention, when Pentecost was in its glory just about at that time, you know, that real anointing is there and the presence is there and people are worshiping in spirit and in truth and people are standing up and praising God with their hands up and people are getting in the aisle and worshiping the Lord. Wow, you know, there's a voice behind that. And if you spiritually start to discern, to say, wow, there's something here. Woo. There's something very, very sweet and something very special. And that's what we really would desire more of. I'm sure you're like me. In our church, in our midst, more of that power of transformation moving in the worship and moving in the, you know, the items and so forth. Because the next thing that he finds, he speaks about when he was at this meeting, he says, was the specials. They came a little quartet and they sang a song called Blue Galilee. And he says, the presence of God so much blessed that special that was sung. He says, I never heard something like that. I wept like a baby. He could just sense, you see, what is God trying to do? It's like when Moses sees a bush burning and is not consumed. God is trying to get somebody's attention. God is manifesting the supernatural to get someone's attention. And when Moses turned aside to see and took off his shoes, then God started to speak to him now. God started to transform his understanding of spiritual things. God started to reveal to him, I have a present day program. You know, I've heard the cries of my people. I'm not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're the God of the churches gone by, but I have my purpose now to be fulfilled. And I'm calling you to be part of this purpose. But there's this attraction, you know, there's this power that moves in the midst of the children of God. And in the deep inside of somebody seeking for worship in spirit and truth, seeking for spiritual reality, that deep starts to stir inside. And in each of these things, God is manifesting himself. God is bearing witness to Brother Branham that you need to come and pay attention to what's taking place here. This is God revealing to him by experience his perfect will for him. These are the people I want you to come and fellowship with, the people that you should be with. So the specials go on. Then finally, the preaching comes now. And the next thing he finds, this power, this glory of God is in the preaching, this power of transformation. He says that he speaks of this preacher, I think his name was Kurtz. I remember with Brother Greg, we used to always say that. He says, and then a preacher got up there. And he began preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And his finger was about that long. He had a long finger. And he pointed me right out in the back. He was talking to me. And I thought, say, how does that guy know anything about me? There were 2,000-3,000 people there, I guess. But he's speaking to me. Now, that is a real thing once again. Now, when you get to the place that God wants you to be, and God is leading you further and deeper, you're going to find out the word starts becoming very personal to you. Until you're going to start saying, but hey, how did they know about me? Hey, did somebody tell him about that? Why is he? And it's like the word comes right to your address because the word is alive. It's quick and powerful, Hebrews, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So while he's sitting there saying, wow, this man's preaching about me. That's another witness. That's God getting his attention to say, don't run away quickly. You need to take off your shoes. Stay here on this holy ground and let me transform you. Let me take you to the place that you're supposed to be. So, yeah, when you really get yourself to the place the Lord wants you to be, God speaks to you through the word and the Bible becomes a new book. Because you're going to find with Brother Branham, when he goes now and gets in the Bible after this and goes to the book of Acts and that, and start seeing and see God in Corinthians about gifts of the Spirit, and he starts seeing baptism of the Holy Ghost and stuff, he starts reading his Bible in a totally new way. He starts saying, wow, these things were sitting in the Bible all the time, but I never knew that they were there. You see, because God's glory is moving his church ever onward, unveiling more and unfolding more. You don't want to get stuck when the cloud moves. You want to stay back. You want to move with the cloud as the cloud is moving. Now, the cloud has moved long time from the Baptist church, and the prophet was realizing it in his own experience by his own spiritual confusion. And now he's met a people where things are starting to make sense. Can you see how God deals with us? Now, this is exactly where God dealt with me I'm sure in exactly the way that he deals with you. In our own way, in our own calling, we start to discern. We start to prove this is the will of God for my life because of the reality of God, because of the presence of God, because of God making himself present tense in the midst, in the word, in the preaching, pointing, somebody pointing his finger at you when you're sitting in the back preaching exactly about you. And you start saying, wow, there's something different about this. Now, this wasn't the richest church. I mean, it was many colored people, white people. It's not going to be bells and whistles. Maybe they didn't have the best instruments and that, but that's not what he's there for. He's discerning, God has brought me here for a purpose. I need to stay. I need to understand what's going on. And he says, he made up his mind now, I'm going to come back for the evening service. When that service finished and that Kurtz preached about him, he says, I'm coming back. And he goes and parks his car, gets some old stale rolls, gets some water from the hydrant. He doesn't have much money to get back home. And he comes back in the evening. So now he's already started to see this glory of God, this power of transformation moving and working. And the next thing that really strikes him is the transformation of this old preacher. When they bring up this old preacher, yeah, and they're helping this old man coming up to the pulpit, he says they brought an old colored man out. Little bit of rim of white hair around the back of his head there. Great big long felt preacher's coat on. Yeah. Poor old fellow walked out there, you know, really like an old man. I thought that poor old man, isn't that a shame? Poor old dad. I guess he's preached a long time and he stood there. And he got his text. He says, I'm going to preach to you tonight from the book of Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Declare unto me when the morning stars sung together. And the sons of God shouted for joy. Hey, and Brahma says, well, he's old. Maybe his preaching days are over. And then he starts to preach. And then the power of transformation gets a hold of this old minister, the glory of God. And this minister starts preaching the mysteries of God, taking it right back to before the foundation of the world, bringing things back down through time. And when the sons of God are shouting for joy, he jumps and he clicks his heels on the pulpit and he says, it's not enough room for me to preach. Down he goes, jumping off the pulpit like a young man. Hey, and brother says, if it'll make an old man act like that, what'll it do for me? I want this. This is what I want. This is what my heart hungers for. If it'll make an old man act like that, oh my, these people has got something. See, he doesn't need to understand the doctrine. He doesn't understand because he's still got his old Baptist thinking in his mind. He's going to need to be transformed by the renewing of his mind doctrinally. But God is using this pool now. He's using the deep, calling to the deep. And he's starting to discern. He started with John Ryan. He's found someone who understands him, someone who understands the supernatural things he's going through. Now he finds a whole big group of these people. Yeah, and there's this compatibility spiritually, feels inside of himself a lot of things he doesn't understand, but he feels at home in the midst of these people. He says, these are the people I've looked for all the days of my life. This is what my soul has been thirsting for. So that's the next way the Lord confirms his will to him, is in the transformation of this old preacher. So he goes to bed that night. Out in the cornfield, sleeping in his car, and he's praying the whole night, and he's saying, please, Lord. He says, there's something about these people. Give me favor with these people. This is what I want. Baptist or no Baptist, this is what I want. This is what my hungry heart is feeling for. This is what it's reaching for. There's the people I've wanted to see all my life. Give me favor with these people. Now, the next confirmation of the will of God is when he goes the next day. Now, on the previous evening, they've asked all the ministers just to come through on the pulpit and introduce themselves. And Branham gets up there, says, William Branham, evangelist, Jeffersonville, and off he goes. It's now in the choice of the minister for the morning service. They choose Brother Branham to come and preach. They come and make the announcement, you know, this morning service, there was a young man on the pulpit last night by the name of Branham, evangelist. We'd like him to come and take the morning service now. We say, wow, can you see how God works, saints? Varun's been praying all night, saying, give me favor with these people. And now they come and they say to him, William Branham, come and preach for us. And because he's wearing his seersucker trousers and his t-shirt, that's how he's dressed. He didn't come there to preach. He's got his Baptist thinking still. You got to have a collar on and you got to be dressed in your Baptist pulpit clothes. But he's come dressed casually. He's on a holiday. And his Baptist thinking, the old unregenerate mind, is almost going to keep him back from the next stage of God inside of his life. He's going to need to overcome himself. And God puts somebody filled with the transforming power next to him, a colored man. And when they're saying, William Branham, come, and Branham hides himself down behind the person in front of him. And the man, the colored guy next to him says, do you know him? Do you know this guy, Branham? He says, yes, he is. Go and get him. He says, it's me. I can't go and preach like this. He says, of course you can. These people don't care how you dress. That's got nothing to do with it. And then they said, where's William Branham? And yes, here he is, here he is. And now he has to get up and go and stand in front of these thousands of people. But this is God revealing his will to the prophet. He's given him, God wants to give him favor in the eyes of the people that he's called to minister to. So now when he starts to preach, he doesn't even know where to preach. He opens his Bible to Luke. The rich young man lifted up his eyes in hell. And he cried. You've heard me say it before. It was such a perfect text. That was the grace of God. He just opens up, he sees a text, says, let me preach on that. Now, when he's a young man, he's been shot through his legs, Brother Branham. He comes to the point of death. He finds himself descending down into the regions of the lost. And he said, it was the most horrifying place. He says, when I was there was no God there. I cried out for God. He says, when I was there, I cried out for my mother. I cried out for my father. There was no mother or father there. So that place is so real to him. So when his eyes fall on that text, God is calling him now from being a Baptist preacher to becoming a Pentecostal evangelist. He's told him, do the work of an evangelist. That's his commission. He gets an evangelistic text. He starts preaching now. And now the real ultimate proof is the power of transformation starts to work in and through him. And the glory of God comes down upon the prophet while he's preaching. And he starts preaching about this rich, this young man in hell. He lifted up his eyes. There was no God there. And he started to cry. And there was no flowers there. And he started, he gets really evangelistic text. And the glory of God falls now in the midst of the meeting. And he says, Number six, he says here, there were no children there, and he cried. There were no songs, then he cried. There was no God, then those services when the real anointing comes. He says, and I got started, and people got to screaming, and I cried. Yeah, it was a real powerful time, and away it went. And the first thing, everybody was on their feet. And I was saying, and he cried, and he cried. And the next thing I knew, I was out in the yard. I don't know what happened. Everybody was blessing God and carrying on. The congregation was screaming and shouting. I don't know what I did. I just lost myself somewhere. Now, friends, this is one of the real, real key parts where God reveals his perfect will to you, is when he reveals his glory in and through you now. So this power of transformation, he's seen it in John Ryan, he's heard it in the tongues and interpretation, he's seen it in the singing, he's seen it in the special, seen it in the minister pointing his finger at him, seen it in this old man being transformed. But now he sees this glory manifesting in and through him. Wow. That's a powerful thing to him. That's why I said the next one is working in and through him. Now you can discern that you're in the right place in the perfect and acceptable will of God. Because when you stay in a certain place, then God starts transforming you and starts working in and through you. Wow, it's been working in and through other people to transform you, but now it comes to the stage that God now starts to work in and through you in whatever form that it is, no matter what simplicity of your calling, but the supernatural starts working inside of your life. The power of transformation starts working in and through you, and other people start being transformed. So the seventh thing that God is confirming to him, his will, is the glory works in and through him. He must have that day said, it's never been like this in the Baptist church. I preach every Sunday twice in my church. I've never had a meeting like this in all my life. I didn't know God could anoint me like this. Our friends, those are glorious times. But that is God's confirmation to say, you're on track. Stay in this channel. Don't turn to the left hand or the right. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't let people take you into another pattern now. But you need to stay here to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stay in this channel of transformation. I'll bring you all the way to where I've called you to be. I'll reveal the fullness of my perfect and acceptable will in and through you. Now, it didn't finish there. The eighth one was through him to the congregation. The congregation themselves recognize the power of transformation working inside of the life of this man. So there's a divine witness in the church. He can see, wow, I was scared of the microphone when I stood up here. I was scared of these people. I don't understand the speaking in tongues. But by the same glory that's in the midst of these people, the same glory came upon me. And that was the most glorious experience, working through him into the congregation. And starts to work in them. Then you start finding, hey, the power of transformation is working through me and transforming other people. You see, God is confirming his will to the prophet here. And then he gets outside, and the next one is recognized by the ministry. Now all the ministers start coming to him now. Hey, the Lord spoke to me while you were preaching. Please come and preach a revival for me. Me, I'm looking after these Indians. I'm a missionary down in a certain place. The Lord laid on my heart that you should come and take revival meetings. Me, I'm from Texas. I got a big congregation down there. Please come and take some meetings for us. And now there comes a list of invitations. There's enough invitations for 1 year. Now his calling when he laid the cornerstone of his church was, this is not your tabernacle. Yeah. And the Lord took him out under the blue sky and says, this is your tabernacle. Do the work of an evangelist. So that Baptist chapter, he's learned everything that he can, but God is opening the next chapter in life, or wants to open it at this time, and is confirming his will to him, showing him his will, making it so clear, vindicating it to him. And now he's got this list. All he has to do is go home, pick up his wife, pack his things. Off he goes, and he's in the perfect will of God. You know, God has made his will so clear to the prophet. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. God can speak in dreams, speak in his word, speak in other ways. But this is a powerful way. God confirms his will to you like this, in your own way, by revealing it in all these different aspects. You start seeing God. You start seeing the word in a new way. Start seeing worship in a new way. Start seeing, you know, God's working in your life in a new way. You start seeing transformation coming inside of your life, transformation coming in your understanding. That's how you discern that you're walking in the channel of his will, the channel, the place that he wants you to be at this time. You know, so God wanted to transform him. Now, this power take him from a Baptist minister to become this Pentecostal evangelist. And then it'll move on from there. The angel will come and meet him. He'll take this gift of healing and he'll break into the prophetic, and his ministry would go on like that. And the final confirmation was when he gets home, and straight away his wife recognizes that something's transformed inside of him. He says, I was so happy. I jumped in my old Ford down the road to Jeffersonville as far as I could. I jumped out of the car, and my wife always, she came to run to meet me, and she said, what are you so happy about? She could see the glory of God. Imagine Moses coming back from the burning bush, from the mount. Do you think Zipporah didn't see a big difference in Moses? Said, Moses, something's different about you. Something's changed you. And he comes and says, I've met God. He's revealed to me what I'm supposed to do. Can you see, saints, how God leads and works inside of our lives? Now, if he had only stayed on course and remained in this channel of this power of transformation, working and confirming and leading men, not turned to the left hand or the right, the potential, the power was limitless of how quickly things would have grown and gone. But unfortunately, the power of transformation that was working in his life wasn't recognized by his mother-in-law. There's his mother-in-law there. Yeah. Mrs. Brumback. And we know the story. She stood in the midst. You'll never take my wife out amongst that trash. That's the off-scouring. Those are the people that have been cast out of the other churches. Imagine the cream of the crop. God working in the midst of his people. But because this lady knew nothing of the power of transformation herself, She knew nothing of the glory of God, knew nothing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, knew nothing of, you know, God moving and people worshiping in spirit and in truth. She couldn't understand when he came and said, I'm going to take my wife and I'm going to go and live among these people. She couldn't understand it. So she withstood it and said it to her, the daughter, if you go out among that trash, not knowing where you're going to get your next meal, maybe not knowing where your next dress is going to come from, you can go, but your mother will go down to her grave with a broken heart. Yeah, it's a sad, sad thing. She didn't want the mother-in-law, Brother Bram, to be transformed. She wanted him to stay as a Baptist minister. She told him, just be like any other minister. Go and get yourself a parsonage. Let them build you a house. You know, raise your family there. You see, the Bible said, do not be conformed to this world. Don't follow the pattern of somebody else. That's fine for a Baptist. That's fine for some denomination. But this man had a supernatural calling on his life. No, he didn't need to conform to what her ideal pattern of life should be. But because of it, because of the pressure that came, he said, let's just leave it for a while. And he says, the greatest mistake I'd ever made. And it took several years, like we said the other week, from 1937 to 1946, 9 years. For the next wave to come in and for him to get caught back up into the power of transformation and the Lord to launch him into his good and perfect and acceptable will. But you can see he knew. God had confirmed it to him. God showed it to him. And when I look at these, apart from that last one there, I mean, you know, we don't want to make these mistakes, although we have to learn by our mistakes. It was important for him to learn. But just the way the Lord worked with him is exactly the way that he works with each and every one of us. That's how we discern the will of God. That's how we prove the will of God, by experience normally. You search it in the scriptures. You don't understand certain things, and God brings people into your life, and God leads you to certain places, and you have certain experiences and so forth. Then you see, but oh Lord, this is what you wanted inside of my life. I can, God confirms it and confirms it, like we saw the 10 confirmations there. That God was confirming to him, apart from John Ryan, even before he gets to Mission Walker. He's confirming it in every way that he possibly can. This is my will for your life. And if he could have just have stayed in the channel, but he says there was too much Branham there. God had to purge me. There had to be the crushing of the rose to bring forth the perfume. He says, my temperament of things is not always God's temperament of things. Now, so God had to take him through, purge the fruitful vine to bring forth even more excellent fruit. And he had to go through that wilderness for a season. Because he missed that junction when God had confirmed it so clearly to him. So just in that simple example, saints, I really hope that it maybe would help us inside of our lives to take that Romans 12, that what is his purpose, what is his desire, that we don't be conformed to the world. Be careful where you're getting your pattern for your life from. Be careful where you're getting your leadership from. But we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And God will confirm it to you. And you just keep walking with it, and God's going to take you deeper and deeper. And where is he trying to get us to? Is to hear ye him, that he may manifest himself in the fullness of whatever your calling is, may manifest his glory in and through you and through me in a deeper and deeper and more consistent way. And that's what we're desiring inside of our life. So let's bow our heads and we finish. Oh, Father, may you help us in this, Lord. Father, how wonderful that it is when you open things up and, Lord, you confirm things to us and you show us your will and you walk in them and your glory just increases, Lord. And Father, we just discern and we prove and we know by experience and we take it back to your word and we confirm it in your word that this is your will. I didn't know that these things were there, but Lord, this is what you're calling me to. May you help every single one of us upon this night to learn that lesson, Lord. And you teach us and help us to discern and to know and to understand and teach us to walk with you, to walk in the light, to walk in your ways. And Father, may you bless your people with a special blessing upon this night, Lord. Bless them that'll watch this down the way, Lord, and bless our fellowship as we finish up. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Any questions there? Any thoughts? Any welcome additions at all? Anybody? The silence is deafening sometimes. Yes. Maybe we just need some time to meditate on it and think about it. But I think if you apply it in your life, you already see where God has met you at those junctions to take you to the next stage of your calling. He's always confirmed it in that kind of a way, because I do believe this is the way that the Lord works. I really, really do.
God bless you, Pastor.
Anybody before we finish things?
God bless you, Pastor. I'm not sure if you
Oh,
can.
sister, God bless Sister Aggie.
God bless you. No, thank you so much for sharing. And one thing that came to me, and I was just thinking about it as well. I saw a video. I don't know how much of it is true, but you correct me on this, Pastor, where he was saying about like to know the will of God. Sometimes, if it's something that you feel like others need to do more, like that is kind of your will of God. So he gave an example. Sometimes if you see like if your conversation's always about, oh, I saw this street, we need to, you know, send some tracks, so I think we should do more of that. We need to do more evangelism. And then he was like, that's your calling, evangelism. Or Brother
Thank you.
Joseph, we know, you know, like it's like we have to pray, do all night, anything, pray. Like, you know, that's his gift of like interceding in prayer. So that got me thinking. I was like, hey, let's, you know, start looking at what I'm, you know, if I'm saying a lot more of, you know, if you think others do more, most likely it's God telling you that's your, you know.
It's true. If you remember at the beginning of the service on Sunday when you spoke about those three lights again, and the first one is it scriptural? Secondly, if God's calling you to do something, he will burden you to do it. So your call always goes along with your burden. You know, there'll be a deep inside of you. So, and one way you can tell like your calling as well is what do you respond to? Like I love, I'm called more down the line of teaching. So that's how I always loved Spurgeon. I mean, Spurgeon was the master teacher in the 1800s. You know, I really love his writings because he's very concise. He puts a beginning, a middle, and an end, and he really hits things like that. And so, something inside, Brother Oliver told me that once. He said, "Brother, the reason you like Spurgeon is it's the teaching gift inside of you. It's going to respond to another teaching gift." I mean, Brother Lonnie Jenkins was still alive with his ministry, Brother George Martin, they're more like teaching ministry. So, you know, you respond where somebody has got a more evangelistic calling, you're going to respond more to evangelistic gifts. I find it with Brother Tommy. You know, when I used to speak to him about different things, he would always speak about Smith Wigglesworth and, you know, the Jeffries brothers and all these evangelists from the 1920s, 1930s, because he has an evangelistic gift. So, you know, the deep calls to the deep. When you see the manifestation of God in somebody else, and that's the same gift you've got, or you called down that way, you're gonna harmonize with that. You're gonna immediately be attracted to that and say, "Wow, yes, that's what I was meaning. That's how I feel as well." You know, so you'll find that what really corresponds with the frequency inside of your soul, and you'll find it in the scriptures as well. I remember going to preach once to Brother Tommy's, and I was speaking about the Book of Acts, and showing different things. And you know, sorry, I was speaking about adoption, about Jesus, how he was brought up. You know, he had to learn and learn obedience by the things he suffered. And Brother Tommy got up and he said, "Brother, that's the way you're different than me. When you read the Gospels, you'll be studying, okay, how did they do things and how did Jesus do this?" He says, "Me, when I read the Gospels, I just see the miracles, you know, so, because that's an evangelist. An evangelist, when he comes back from preaching, the only thing he's interested in is when he's been away to tell you how many souls got saved and how many people got baptized, which is good. Now, that's his measure stick because he's an evangelist. But if you call in other callings, like a teacher, if you go somewhere, that's not going to be of course, you want to bring people to Christ, but that's not the sole measure stick you're going to measure things by, because you know evangelism catches the sinner, teaching places the believer. You're placing people in Christ, so you know you'll find that you respond to different things, even the favorite chapters you have in the Bible, even the kind of music that you love. It's going to correspond with that frequency of God's operation inside of your life, so you can tell generally by the way God made you. And what you respond to, you can see generally the direction God wants you to go in. And don't be conformed. Don't pattern after somebody else, but allow his power of transformation to lead you and confirm and lead you to the right people and stir up the gift in you. And then you'll manifest deeper and deeper more what you're supposed to be. So it's very true what you said.
No, thank you, Pastor.
Anybody else, saints? But I think it's really just important to, you know, because we do speak a lot as believers. We're trying to understand how do we discern the will of God. And Paul is teaching us a very important principle there in that scripture of how God confirms his will to us. When you're heading in the right direction, God's going to confirm it to you. But sometimes we're waiting for God to drop something from heaven. Do we want God to speak in an audible voice? Yet he's already confirming it in 10 different ways around you. This is my will. This is where you're supposed to be. This is the way you're supposed to be going. But if you don't understand how God speaks, and the different way that he confirms his will. And that's why I like that story, because there were 10, 11 different ways God confirmed at that junction to the prophet. And you know, that this is the junction in your life. You know, now's time for the next, time to come up higher, time to go through the open door. It was that important junction. And the Lord wanted him so much to go through that he made it so clear to him. You know, but being young and in the ministry and young and as a Christian, whatever, just like you and I, he made a mistake. And well, he learned a lot from the mistake that he made, as we'll see next week. Anybody else before we finish? Bro George? Yeah, bro.
Sorry, Pastor, I'm using this screen up here. So, Norman, for me, all you said tonight just reminds me of that. Lives of great men remind us. That's all. That's all I've been thinking, because I'm fascinated by the prophet, his life. All he had to, and look, the way you put it was such detail. You don't think of it like, because you hear these things here and there, but you, the way you traced it, you gave the history of the church, how the church has progressed, and then you put the prophet's life, how God had to make him meet Brother Ryan and the direction he went and all that. And we can see our own lives, like you were saying. I can look in my life and I can see a similar setup. Yeah. And that's very powerful. That's so. All I can think of is that poem by, is it Furlong? I don't know who done it.
By Longfellow.
Longfellow, yeah. It's just, it's the because song. Someone had to live that life.
Yeah.
You know, for me, because I appreciate those things. You know, yes. So. Thank you so much.
And I think the important thing is to glean. It's like that friend that you had before, remember, at work, and you came and said that she was so stirred up by the life of Hudson Taylor, you know, the missionary to China, and she decided she was going to go to China as a missionary. And I said to her, I said, well, maybe the Lord doesn't want to go to China as a missionary because it's not going to be easy for her. But we're supposed to take those experiences of people gone by, then apply them in our current life, our current situation. We don't have to conform to their life. But that power of transformation, as you're looking at God's dealing inside of the life of somebody else, you know, like yourself, Brother George, wherever you go and people ask you to, even if you go to Lithuania, that as they come and speak, you'll always speak about prayer. I mean, you know, you can tell somebody's calling and their ministry because that's the deep that calls to the deep. You don't want to conform and be like somebody else. So when you go and read about Daniel Nash and prayer, you say that's powerful, but you're not going to go and lock yourself in a cellar for 2 weeks before the meetings and do like he did. No, but you're going to glean the inspiration, you know, the power from his calling and his testimony that the inspiration gives you, and then you apply it in your own circumstances and in your own way. That's the key to understanding why it's good to. When I read about Moses and the burning bush, I'm never expecting to meet a burning bush. I mean, whenever I go out in the woods, I'm not expecting to meet a burning bush. Neither are you. But I know exactly what it's like when you get into that presence of God and God is speaking to your soul and you come away from there and you're transformed. Yeah, I mean, we all know that as believers, when you come and he overshadows your soul with his glory, that's your burning bush experience. You know, so it's you can relate to it, so understand what Moses went through. I never exactly had that experience, but I know that's true because I had my own experience like that. You know, when the Lord spoke to me, and I was never the same after he dealt with me in that way. So it's trying to take those things and apply them in our own lives. And it'll come down to marriage as well, you know, to discerning the will of God, knowing the will of God. And you know, the confirmation, how God wants to confirm his will to us. As you get nearer and nearer to the perfect will of God, he makes it clearer and clearer. He doesn't want us to miss it. So, but sometimes we don't realize how does he confirm? How does his power of transformation, his glory work? You know, it works in the preaching. It works in the items, in the singing. It works in the preacher. It works in the brother who comes and fellowships with you in your house, John Ryan. It works in your wife agreeing with you, you know, when you get home. All of those things were confirmations that God was just trying to say, look, There's a the Urim and Thummim. It's flashing brightly in so many ways here. This is my will for you inside of your life. So we can apply it in any aspect of life. Anybody else? Sorry, Banjo.
Best services. Well, not sorry. Sorry, sorry. For me, I don't know anything regarding, like, when you preach on prayer. It's like heaven.
Yeah, that's true. Because you're feeding the that's when Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift. That's true.
A lot of songs that I like, my own songs that I like singing, are songs on prayer.
Yeah.
I find I'll be coming from work and I must get the guitar and sing that song. And you sing it and you can actually get in the spirit on your own, you know.
Yeah, that's
where you know, so you find, like, so it's powerful what you say. Thanks, Pastor.
In questions and answers, when they ask Brother Brown about how do you know your call, and he says, firstly, God uses you the way that he made you. So your gift must go along with your temperament. Like I say, I mean, for me to think I'm an evangelist when I'm a person, if somebody says boo on the street, it's not that easy for you. You know, it's like you yourself know there's certain people like Brother Greg or Brother Rock, the late Brother Rock. Now, their whole makeup backed up their call. Yeah, and you'd find even in the world, like Brother Greg, when he was in the world, he'd easily chat up girls and he'd be in somebody, you know, joking with people and stuff. Even selling pizzas, he'd be very good at it because, you know, he can strike up conversation, joke with people, you know. So the Lord now takes that and he's made you in a certain way. Now he wants to put his glory in that so he can use that for his glory. So the way that he made you. Then secondly, the way that he called you, the life that you've gone through. If he's going to want you to pray for sick people, I don't think you're going to have been a person who has had no sickness in your life. You'll never have sympathy with sick people. So you find, like Brother Brandon, he was sick with his stomach and all the things he went through because that gives you a compassion. You can feel for somebody else. You know, somebody who's never really been sick in life, they are very, very unsympathetic to believers that are sick. You see them, they'll just say, just have faith. What's wrong with you? Hey, have bulldog faith. You know, be like Shamgar, cast him out of inheritance. And there's truth in that. But there's another side as well. Jesus is the sympathizing Jesus because he went through the things we go through so he can understand. He can put himself in our shoes. You know, so even your upbringing, how you went through life and the experiences you've had, you find that's predestination. That's going to work together for your call. You know, all of those things you're going to find, God allowed you to go through those things because he wants to use them for his glory. And then the final one he says is, God must bless it. You know, if you really feel it's the will of God, God must bless it. And that's how when the prophet got there in Mishawaka and he stood in front of those people, God so anointed him and he blessed him. And there was such a response now back from the congregation and from the ministers there. You know, see, God confirmed it to him 100%. So if in the perfect will of God, God is going to bless you. Now, not the whole world's not going to recognize that God is blessing you, but the children of God will recognize this is a blessing. This is God. You know, so there's all those different ways you can discern your call as you're walking in the call of God. And finally, when you're walking in the will of God, you're walking in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and you have fellowship with him. That's the sweetest times of fellowship is when you're walking in the perfect will of God. When you start getting away from his will, it's like we've said before, it's like that game, you know, when you play when you're young of hot, 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 cold, cold, cold. When you hide something in the room and you tell your children, like, Daddy, I need to find it. And they go in, no, that's cold. You're getting colder. Then they start heading in the right direction. Yeah, yeah, warmer, warmer. Yeah, now you're hot, hot, hot. That's how the Lord does it with our spiritual experience. When you're getting away from your call, getting away from what he wants you to be, you find you get colder, colder, colder. God can't bless that because you're his child. But you start getting back in the line of your calling, start getting back near, you know, drawing near to what God wants you to be, where he wants you to be, the life that he wants you to live, who he wants you to be with. It's going to get hot, hot, hotter. You're going to feel his presence is going to become more and more real. And you can discern the will of God many times by those kind of things as well. He can reveal himself. Any final one there, saints, before we close off? Yes, Brad Greg.
Yeah, God bless you, brother. Sorry, I'm at work today. I have to stay longer. People are getting sick. I'm telling you, brother, these things
Yeah.
are flying so much that I have to cover up today. But anyway, brother, see, it's interesting because many times you, like you said here as well, like you're learning by trying, you know.
Yeah.
And the more you're doing, the more you learn and stuff like that as well. And how God made you, like you said, it's like God preparing you for something that you don't even know what it is. And then even when you feel this in your heart, you're just not sure how that will work. You just know that you want to do something for God. And as you're trying, as you're knocking, as you know, breaking this glass and that glass, you know, that makes sense spiritually speaking. You kind of learn a lot of things. You learn how to, let's say in my case, how to talk to people, how to not to talk. It's interesting. I was on the street one time with one brother from our church, and his approach, I was just listening because I'm not saying I'm super experienced or something, you know, but I would just be standing, and what brother would say, let's say, to that person, I wouldn't say it. I'm not saying was something wrong with it and stuff like that, but me, I just kind of, you know, keep quiet and stuff, let the brother say what was on his heart. I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just saying that you learn as you go, because many times maybe I was whatever, maybe that brother was or something, and I was saying a lot of things and that not maybe what the person needs at the time. You learn to listen more. You not, you know, many people, they talk on the streets. They want to talk you over, and then that person just on the end, it's altogether confused. But I learned that let people talk and see where they are, and then maybe slip in something. But that comes, let's say, by experience as well and stuff like that. So all
Again,
those things
I agree.
we are
It's like
learning.
that principle of hot, 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 cold, cold, cold. You learn those things, okay? Now, when you're not getting, you speak to somebody on the street. I mean, if you prayed up even in a halfway, you straight away can feel if you're not getting to the point. If you're saying something irrelevant to for a person, there's no fellowship. There's no. Your heart and that person's heart, there's no contacting their spirit. You can feel it straight away. You can tell even by their eyes are going somewhere else, their mind somewhere else. It doesn't take much to realize that, hey, I'm not on the right track here. Yeah. And your point that you said there's many times, the best way is let them do the talking then. Start asking questions so you can find that entry point. The key for the door. So okay, then maybe finally you speak, okay, where are you from? Hey, what does this? And then finally they say something about, yeah, I used to go to church, I was a Pentecostal. Then you okay, why did you leave church and this and that? Then they say to you, and then you get an entry point. You get like a common ground that you can start, you found a foundation to build upon now with that person. But it does, but it takes wisdom because our first reaction in those situations when you don't seem to be getting through to somebody is, especially depending on temperance of people like evangelists, you think you can just over talk. We not end up talking too much. Yeah. But sometimes if you could listen first, like Brother Ram with that man with the apple tree, the infidel, he didn't say very much. He listened and questioned. Then he found, bam, aha. There's the entry point that I can use now, that healing of that woman up on the hill. You find there's always, if God's been working and brought you together, there's always a place you can connect. And like you're saying, it just needs wisdom and you learn it as you go.
Brother, thanks very much for today.
No problem, bro. Do you want to pray first, bro? Greg, can you pray there, bro?
Yeah, give me just 1 second. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd just like to thank you for this time that we could have with the brother, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you put him aside, that we could hear, Lord Jesus, a lot of examples of another brother's life that we could learn from, Lord. We could learn from each other, Lord. But the most important, we can learn from you, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, Lord Jesus, to not be too selfish and just not to be just maybe too lazy. Just to, Lord Jesus, take those things and just meditate upon them, Lord Jesus. Even Lord Jesus, your prophet, he found maybe 1 hour, he lay down on the tree and he just started thinking about that scripture that was in his mind. And then, Lord, you came and you fellowship with your servant. So, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord Jesus, all this Bible study that we could just take our time and just meditate upon them and just try to glean something from them. Every one of us, we are built different and we are called different also. So help us, Lord Jesus, in the realm of our calling, to just be faithful and you will take care of the fruits of this, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord, don't you think, Lord Jesus, what we can do to just stay faithful. On the end, Lord Jesus, you will not say to us, welcome, you fruitful servant. No, Lord, you will just say, welcome, my faithful servant. So help us, Lord, to be faithful in the little thing that we can do, Lord Jesus. If somebody could be a pound, somebody could be a euro, someone could be a 100 euro note. Help us, Lord Jesus, just to stay in the realm of our calling. And if somebody don't know what the calling is, help us, Lord Jesus, to know what we could do for you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we have a Friday prayer meeting. But before that, even, Lord Jesus, we are praying, Lord Jesus, that you will lead us what to do with the church fund, with the church building, with all those decisions, Lord Jesus. We're at the junction, and we could make our own decisions, what to do, what to buy, and where to go. But, Lord Jesus, we don't want that. We want you to go before us. Because, Lord Jesus, on the end, it's your place, Lord. So we want to just yield ourselves and ask you that you be leading us with all those decisions, Lord Jesus. And if we do some mistake, just please forgive us and help us, Lord Jesus, to go according to your plan and your vision, not according to a man's mind. Lord, as we're going now, Lord Jesus, part with us, Lord Jesus, and give us, Lord Jesus, good night and good rest as we, some of us, might meet tomorrow. We pray for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. God bless.
Thank you very much, bro.
Meet some of the saints tomorrow for the building committee, but otherwise others for the weekend. Good to see you, Sister Roseanne. God bless you richly. Each and every one. God bless saints.
Good night.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. God bless, Sister Bruna.